This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
James Finlay and Andrew the Apprentice with you on Hide and Seek. And tonight we are talking about a brand new leather crew.
Yes, we are. They've been up and running for a few months now, but and we'll find out more in a second. With co-founders, I think co-founders is right, yeah. Tim and Stu are from the Leather Mob here in Melbourne. Good evening, boys.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How did you get started?
Well, I suppose the idea came about last year. Basically, a group of us friends all decided that we basically the idea came from Canberra because being from there, they have a group called Gay Crash where they kind of take over a non-gay venue for the
Parliament
evening.
House.
Yeah,
that would be interesting.
So that's, I guess, where the idea came from. I was talking with some friends about doing something similar with the leather community down here and kind of branching out and taking over some venues down here.
Okay, so this is so the movement's more about taking your leather to places where leather may not have been before.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, so the first one, there was a bunch of us. We thought, hey, let's crash Poof Doof. And so a whole bunch of us got together and we did some stuff on Facebook and it just went nuts. And we had about 60 guys there in leather and lots of very curious people.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
So, is this like, I guess because this could be seen as a little bit of a marketing ploy.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But a marketing ploy for leather.
Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. But what else would it be for? Okay, and how did your trip Southside go?
Good, good. Well, the first one was very well received. Just in the lead up to the event happening, Poof Doof got in touch with us and said that they were happy to promote it themselves as well, and they did up some posters of their own graphic design
they sure
for us
did.
And yeah, got right behind it, so they were very welcoming, and that's it was a very positive experience.
And we recently did a second one with them, and we did one at the Greyhound, we did one in Richmond as well at DT's, so and we even went to Circuit as well, but kind of here, there and everywhere, spreading the love.
What's the... Do you get, like, an extra thrill out of being in your leathers, not somewhere where you're usually in your leathers?
A little bit, but also it's part of education as well, because you do get a lot of people coming up to you asking you about the scene and what it means to wear leather. So we're happy to give them that advice and show them where they can buy leather as well. Going over the other side of the river, you don't get that so often.
And just about breaking down the negative perceptions about leather and how some people would be afraid to go into a leather bar or something thinking that it meant a certain thing or you'd only come across a certain type of people. And what we're trying to show is that we're all different types of people, just as there are in every type of scene. And there are all kind of, people range from two different sides of the extreme, as always.
So, Tim, let's start with you. We'll talk to you. What are some of the core questions that people have that are new to leather that you've come across?
Is it about BDSM? You know, is it about spanking each other? You know, is it about group sex? Are they all fat old men? We get that one quite a lot.
That's quite a common one.
So, what are some of your answers to those sort of things?
Well, as Stu was saying, we're all types of people. You know, we may be fat old men, we may be young twinks, we may be jocks, we may be everything in between, whichever way you want to categorise people. But we're all about, you know, uniting together and dressing up and going and having a bit of fun. I mean, ultimately, it is about fun. And that's what we're trying to show people.
Do you think that people are receiving it really well and thinking, this is something I want to do?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. I've just at the last one we did at Poof Doof, I had some very nervous people dancing next to me up on the platform, and was showing some positive body language towards them, and eventually they did ask me about my harness and things, and as soon as I broke the ice and was describing the harness and explaining things to them, they suddenly got really excited and the ice was broken, and they were they were very happy to
so
socialise.
What kind of gear are we rocking up in?
It ranges from all kinds of things, so harnesses.
If you're going to be rocking up to people who haven't seen people in leather in real life before, then I guess you're not going to go out in any kind of extreme-y kind of things, or I guess maybe not chaps, because
I've worn
that's,
chaps.
Oh, yes, okay, yeah, chaps and everything. I mean,
harnesses are great. I reckon harnesses go across the yes, spectrum. Yeah. Everyone loves a good harness, I feel.
Mm. But realistically, I think this hasn't... Leather isn't new to all of these venues. Like, there are people, I've been to these venues without a leather mob group before, and there are people that do still represent themselves. But yeah, the idea, I suppose, of the group was to kind of go as a collective and show that there's more than just the occasional one or two people in the venue that have decided to wear their leather and do that.
But so it must be great going in a group then.
Definitely, yeah.
Definitely. And my boyfriend Lucas, he said he was getting messages from people before the event saying, look, I'm really interested in leather. I don't actually own any. Yeah. Can I come along? Where can I get some from? So you kind of get that end of the spectrum where they're a little bit curious. And these kind of events, they break down those barriers and try and remove a bit of the, you know, scary bear vibe, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I guess a lot of people do think it's just for the bears.
Yeah. And they're lovely people too. And
sure.
You know, it's about showing that. So.
Now, I also went along to the most recent Poof Doof, Leather Doof. And
you were the Leather Doof?
I went to the Leather Doof. And look, I have to say it was interesting, some of the reactions that were coming in the door.
Yes.
From people who... didn't realise that Leather Doof was on. I'm
Did you all arrive at the same time?
No, but people turned up on and off.
Okay. Yeah, we all kind of came in waves.
It was like parting the Red Sea, because on one side you had all the leather guys. This was at the start. And then on the other side you had the guys who probably have never seen leather before with their girlfriends. And then gradually more drinks were flowing, the crowd started to merge together.
Sure. We were on the side of the bar anyway, so they had to come through eventually.
I have to say, there was some, clutching of pearls by some guys as they arrived.
Yes, I did notice a few reactions like that, yes.
So is that the kind of reaction you want, or is that reaction good because it generates... conversation, you think?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, obviously there are always going to be reactions like that, but I think ultimately if people do stay throughout the night and I guess loosen up with us, they'll kind of be able to realize that we are a very diverse bunch and we're not all the scary people. That's not to say that there aren't scary people in our community. there are some very scary twinks out there as well. So
terrifying, I tell you what. Absolutely terrifying.
Hide and seek.
You're in Hide and Seek with James Finlay and Andrew the Apprentice, and tonight we are talking Leather Mob.
We are talking Leather Mob. Tim and Stu are co-founders of the Leather Mob. Now, Stu, you mentioned you're from Canberra originally.
Yes.
And Tim, you're also from Sydney.
Yes.
In both fairly recent Melbourneites.
Yes, yeah, just over about 18 months ago.
8 months. And Tim, you're about 12 months.
Yeah, I'm coming up to a year next month.
Yeah, wow.
Very exciting.
So how are the leather scenes of Sydney and Canberra respectively? And are they more integrated than Melbourne is?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Sydney doesn't have much of a leather scene.
Yep.
When you talk about integrated, it is fairly integrated in terms of it's a very mixed scene. Mm-hmm. So they'll have parties like Extra Dirty, which is probably your equivalent to Code Black.
Oh, yep.
But that's not so much a leather party. That's more kind of, camo wear and...
It's a bit of a mix
bit
of...
A bit of denim and a bit of leather and... A bit of nothing.
Macho, you know. Kind of.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. And they used to have a leather bar in Sydney, but they don't any longer.
So no leather bars at all?
No.
And
no men's only venues.
No men's only venues.
When did that happen?
Oh, it's a few years ago now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so probably, I'm going to say maybe 5 or 6 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And what's Canberra? Does Canberra have a leather? With no, all those politicians, really. It must be underground. I tell
must
you
be
what.
Underground.
No, it's
if it's not leather, it's definitely a BDSM one happening there. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, look, stuff does happen, but it's not really in the gay and lesbian community, or sorry, GLBTI community. It's more just in the broad community as a whole. So there are people.
Okay.
They're usually straight organisers that will organise parties, but they're usually either on private residences, and only very recently a friend of mine who used to run some parties years ago has started running a fire and ice party a bit more regularly now, and that actually happened a couple of weeks ago, and I just so happened to be there for it. So,
and how was it?
It was actually quite interesting because they...
interesting is an interesting word.
it was actually really fun. That can't really attract the best talent for DJs and things, no. But it was still a very fun night, and they had a very good mixed crowd. Not so many people from the gay community, but I think it's still a very new idea there, I suppose. They definitely had some interesting play demonstrations happening that night, which you don't actually see very often in the venues here in Melbourne. So it was actually quite interesting to see them going a little bit further than I've seen in Sydney or Melbourne. So,
okay. So what was it like coming to Melbourne, where it sounds like our leather scene is still quite pumping?
Really
was,
good.
Was and it like a homecoming?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
I think we both had that same kind of experience.
Yeah. And I think for me as well, I was coming down here socially about once a month, and it took me maybe 2 or 3 visits to actually decide to move here. Because there was something that I really missed about the scene. The gay scene in particular in Sydney is very fragmented. And because it is such a big city as well, it doesn't have that community feel. And that was something that really attracted me to Melbourne.
And because Melbourne, although we're a big city, it's still that off. You know, the venues are doing pretty well. You know, the people are going to venues still. The ones that are left, I guess, there's been sort of been a cull a couple of years ago, and then the ones that are still around are still going pretty well, by the sounds of it.
We don't have lockouts.
We don't have lockouts.
Yeah, no. Now, you guys have said that you're quite new to the Melbourne scene here, and Dean has sent a message saying, how have you been accepted by the, quote, old school mob down here? Like, the guys that have been doing leather for years and years and years. Now, you guys come down, start a new group, start going into other clubs that haven't seen leather before. What's the reaction been like?
It's actually been really positive, and the comments that we've had is it's good to get some young, fresh blood in because it creates a different atmosphere. And the other thing about Leather Mob as well is, you know, with some leather events, you kind of get the same music each time, and when we go to other venues, you might get, you know, some pop remixes and disco music, or you might get some high energy music, so that kind of adds to the vibe as well. So it's about, you know, creating a bit of diversity in the scene,
because the mobsters, shall we say, still head along to the old venues, the
Lead, of course,
and Circuit and the others, and we've got AWOL coming up, and you guys have also been working closely, I believe, with Vic Leather.
Yes.
Can you describe how that's going?
Good. They've been quite supportive of us. We've made sure to include them in all of our events as well, and get as many members of them engaged as possible. There is something new that I would like to start pushing as well, which is to become a little bit more diverse in attracting more of the leather ladies, maybe doing one of the next ones as a leather ladies mob. So
Sundaylicious or something.
Yes,
like that.
Well, that's the thing. Yes, Sundaylicious might end up a target at some point.
And the other great thing was we marched with them during Pride and the Daylesford March as well. So it was Vic Leather and Leather Mob all together as one, which I thought was really great.
Yeah, okay. So there's another question here that's saying, has there been any kickback around the dress-up crew versus the traditionalist?
The dress-up crew is in the fakes wearing harnesses and that's about it? Is that what you're referring to?
I don't know. Ask Dean, who's texting.
I think he's meaning traditionalists who being those who live and breathe leather 24/7. You know, against those who
like take it up on a weekend.
Yeah, take it up on a weekend.
Sure, sure. I haven't noticed much of a kickback. I think, as Tim was saying before, most of the reactions have been definitely along the lines of, welcoming the new faces and the new generation that are coming into this scene. Because I think, with the advent of social media and everything, everything's kind of changed with community and the way we all connect. So I think that also is reflecting now in the way we adopt different aspects of our lives, so absolutely, including leather. So yeah, I think they've been quite positive. I do remember earlier on last day, hearing some comments about what types of things were expected at the Laird or what would be the not necessarily accepted, like things like perfume wearing twinks or that kind of stuff, and you don't wear perfume, that real men don't smell like that, and that kind of stuff. But that seems to have been dying off a bit, I think, because of this change in social integration or whatever.
Okay, so do you think that the new kind of leather scene has started to influence the older scene, or
I would say it's starting to go that way.
I think to kind of infuse a bit more fun, so it's not taken so seriously.
Mm.
Like there is obviously that serious element where people do live it day by day, but then there's also on the weekend when everyone's out there to party. Okay, you might be in leather, but you might be in other things as well, like jock straps or whatever.
Mm.
It's just a form of dress, and okay, there's the sexual element to it that comes along with it, the connotation of that, but it's not always about that.
No, that's right. And I think it also comes from, being a lot more free to express ourselves in this day and age. There's less stigma in the streets. There's less stigma everywhere about homosexuality and the way we express ourselves. So I think it's also the fact that we're able to adopt different aspects of self-expression and do that as we see fit. And it's not necessarily, you don't need to take a stand and you don't need to create a counterculture or that kind of thing to make a point anymore, because I think the points have been made and we're all able to embrace everything we like now. So
you mentioned sex there. I wanted to touch on the connotation between sex and leather, because you mentioned it before a little bit as well, in that there's an expectation, I guess, from the community outside leather that leather's all about sex.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you talk about what some of the comments from the broader community have been? And yeah,
in particular about BDSM, the fact that everyone who's into leather is necessarily into spanking and
tying each other up,
or fisting,
or pain play. There is that connotation that goes along with it. But I guess this has kind of taught us that there are so many aspects of the community, and there are so many people that aren't into that at all, but love wearing leather.
Mm. Mm.
That's right. And I was quite sheltered from a lot of certain things coming from a small community in Canberra. And so I wasn't necessarily coming into this community expecting to necessarily adopt all of that kind of stuff. And I found actually it's all about embracing what you feel comfortable with, and definitely my experience with the kink side of the community has been that it's all about consent, and it's all about where your limits are and what you're comfortable with. And obviously if you're not comfortable with something, everybody's actually quite accepting of that, and there's no judgments there, and there's also no expectations for anything. So I've actually found it wasn't necessarily heavily about the kink at all. It was actually about just like-minded people coming together and just socializing and communicating about the leather and about the little things that we do like. So
hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And the apprentice and James Finlay are with you tonight.
Mm. So we're talking about the leather mob
tonight. We are.
A brand new, well, I say brand new, but how old is it now?
It's a few months.
Six months.
Months. It's still pretty new.
October last year was the first one. So,
okay. Yeah. The leather mob taking over different venues, all in your leather. We have Tim and Stu in the studio with us. This is kind of a new thing that we've talked about. Now, how long have you two been in leathers? And because we've talked a lot about how going to different venues in your leather has awoken other people's kind of fantasies, I guess. What was it that took you there?
I find leather really hot. The way that it looks, the type of guys that are generally wearing it. Mm. I like the way that it makes me feel as well. Mm. And particularly in the bedroom, it's a nice little accessory.
Mm.
And kind of leads to other types of plays, such as kink play, which I also like.
Yeah. Well, but what was it that clicked in your mind that you're like, oh, that, I want to do that now?
Harnesses.
Right. So, yeah. The first time you saw harnesses.
Yeah.
And where did you see that?
Mardi Gras.
Right.
Yeah. And I ended up marching with Sydney Leather Pride with a whole bunch of Melbourne boys. So, that's kind of... That was my first introduction into the Melbourne scene by seeing a whole heap of Melbourne leather boys up in Sydney for Mardi Gras.
Okay.
Hmm. For me, it started... Well, I suppose it originally started back in high school when I kind of was in with the goth crowd. So, I suppose it was the kind of black gothing of that rebelliousness that kind of... when I finally did learn about leather, it kind of... That's what... The spark was for me. I thought, oh, that's how I can kind of pay homage to my goth roots in the modern gay community without going too far or emo. So that's kind of how I got interested in it. And one of my colleagues who used to be a dominatrix, so she worked in the same department as me in Canberra, and she was into all kinds of stuff, and we'd have smoko breaks and discuss tricks of the trade and all that kind of stuff. So she got me interested in a few things. I even scored a few pieces off her as well that didn't fit her men. So
so in bringing leather to the masses, if leather mob's turning up in a venue and they see, and somebody from outside the leather community sees you, what are some of the questions you suggest they come and ask you?
I guess how they can get involved.
What events are happening that mm-hmm. they can attend? Where can they get gear from?
Yes.
And we get that question a lot. Where can you buy gear?
Well, there are a few places around.
Yeah. There's some definitely some good local businesses here. Otherwise, online's a good resource as well. Mm-hmm. Just make sure you get your measurements right.
You don't want to be spending that much and getting something a couple of inches too big or too small.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly right.
Okay, so where can people find out more information then?
We've got a Facebook page, just Leather Mob, and we do some regular posts on there just about our upcoming events and also what else you can kind of find amongst the community that would accommodate a leather crash or something like that.
are there any more that are coming up?
Yes.
Where are some of the let's go a bit further. Where are some of the great fantasy places that you have that you would love to turn up as your leather mob? Like, surely you've got some grand plans here.
Well, I suppose as mentioning
like
earlier,
like Moomba or something.
Well, yes, that would be a good one. But no, well, we did discuss before. I suppose Sundalicious
Fed Square.
Fed Square could be a good one.
It's a flash mob.
Flash mob and Fed Square.
Without flashing.
Yes. Or with a bit of flashing. So it depends who's involved.
Tea dance? That'd be good.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. Tea dance. Well, actually, Chill Out, we should definitely coordinate something for. So,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
And as you said, Sundalicious for the ladies.
So, something like that. So it doesn't have to be Sundalicious.
Yes, but something like that.
But, yes, we'll definitely try and coordinate something and definitely be touching base with Vic Leather about that one. Otherwise, I suppose there are some other venues that we've got earmarked for in the near future. Mm-hmm. Without spoiling anything, I could hint towards a relatively new venue.
Oh,
that's pretty much fabulous, giving it away. Otherwise, there's also the home that might need to be spruced up a bit as well.
The home?
Oh, the home of leather.
The home of leather.
Oh, the home of leather.
The home of leather.
The lead.
Yes.
Thank That's you, Captain Obvious. Jones. Yeah. Great. Well, if anyone wants more information, where can they head again?
To Facebook. Just look up Leather Mob and we should be the number one hit.
And anyone can join?
Yes, absolutely. Everybody's welcome. Don't have to be wanting to get into the leather community. You could just enjoy our events and you could just yeah, you could just be interested in wanting to meet a leather man and, or something like that, or a leather lady.
Oh, yeah. So, yes. Is Leather Mob across all genders?
Yes, all definitely. Inclusive. Yes, yes. Unfortunately, a lot of the venues and things have been a bit male-dominated, but definitely wanting to break that down as well. So,
okay. What's it like mixing the straight and gay leather scenes? Like, because from what I gather, it's pretty friendly.
Yes, definitely. And actually, that's how I got more into it back in Canberra without there being much of a gay leather scene. So I got more into it through, again, that friend of mine, the colleague, she knew about some groups and private parties that happened. So that's how I started to explore things before getting to Melbourne. And so that was very interesting because a lot of it for them came down to just exploring different things and doing non-sexual kind of kink play, just some gentle roping of harnesses and things like that, to other sensation play, right up to other more intense stuff that they also did. But that's kind of how I got into it. So the communities definitely do meld really well, and we've through a friend of ours who DJs down at Abode in St Kilda, that's the straight equivalent of I suppose the Laird. Mm. And yeah, there's definitely a really welcoming group there too. So
mm-hmm. We just got a text in on 0427 joy 949 asking if you guys are an official group or if it was just kind of an organic thing among friends.
It started out as an organic thing amongst friends, but definitely we want it to kind of stay quite organic just within the community itself. We don't mm-hmm. want it to be an official card-carrying member thing. It's all about just who wants to get involved and embracing that side of the community.
And as we said before, you do work with Vic Leather, so yes. You know, Vic Leather is the official one,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and Leather Mob's just a social gathering that tries to bring, as we said, bring leather to masses.
We're definitely all about fun.
Yes.
Tim and Stu, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're on Hide and Seek with James Finlay and Andrew the Apprentice.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.